It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. An internal PowerPoint presentation leaked to the Los Angeles Times shows at least one staffer at the regional EPA office in Philadelphia had linked contaminants such as methane, arsenic, and manganese found in water in Dimock to nearby shale gas drilling, and that the regional office did not agree with the EPA national office's decision to close an investigation into water contamination in Dimock. The Times story raises questions about whether pressure was being put on the EPA's Washington office from the Obama White House, which some critics say is engaging in a hands-off shale gas policy. I'm joined now by phone by Susan Phillips, energy reporter with State Impact Pennsylvania. Susan Phillips, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us by phone is shale gas reporter and author Tom Wilbur. Tom Wilbur, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. If you have a comment or question for our guests, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What concerns do you have about water being contaminated by shale gas drilling? What concerns do you have after hearing about the LA Times report? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002 to take part in our conversation. Susan Phillips, why don't we begin with you and some background information about how and why Dimock has become a battleground, as you have called it, for pro and anti gas drilling forces.
Well, this dates back several years, and what happened was, just to sort of truncate the history, because there is a long history with Dimock, you know, back in 2009, there had been problems with the water, and then the Pennsylvania DEP had concluded that gas drilling was at fault. One of the things that put Dimock in the national and international spotlight, of course, was Gasland, the movie by Josh Fox, which took a tour all over the United States, but focused a lot on Dimock and the water problems that some of the residents in Dimock were having. So it's sort of definitely become the cause celeb for people who are against gas drilling. And it's certainly the battle over whether or not gas drilling was at fault in contaminating residential water wells certainly divided the community, with some folks saying, no, that kind of contamination has already existed, and if you worked with the gas company, you know would be able to get a good deal and get your water cleaned, with, you know, battling another set of residents who said, no, the gas companies have betrayed us, and then, you know, later feeling like the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection betrayed them. And now, even today, a lot of them feel that the EPA betrayed them. But the EPA's role in Dimock didn't come until pretty late, and this was only after the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection allowed the gas company, Cabot Oil and Gas, to stop delivering water, free water, to the residents. And when they lifted that order, or essentially allowed that order to expire, there was a lot of pressure from activists put on the EPA to step in and look and see what's going on in Dimock. The EPA did that, but they were always very clear that their role was very limited. All they wanted to do, they said, was to figure out if the water was drinkable or whether it wasn't drinkable. They did provide water for some time to about 4 households in Dimock. They tested over 60 private water wells in Dimock. And it was sort of seen, you know, by both sides as, okay, this is going to be the be all and end all. This will answer all these unanswered questions about what's really going on in Dimock. Pretty much that Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I guess one question that when you say that this is going to be the be-all, end-all, or that there was this perception that it was going to be the be-all, end-all, that the EPA was going to come in and answer all the questions, and yet they came in and tested the drinking water, as you said, endemic, between January and June of last year, 2012. And at the time, EPA's regional administrator, Sean Garvin, emphasized that the EPA's mission endemic was not to investigate whether or not gas drilling caused the contamination, but rather to determine if residents could safely drink their well water. Why wouldn't the EPA want to investigate the cause?
That's a good question. I personally don't know the reason of that decision, but I think there was a lot of political pressure from both sides. I mean, I think the Obama administration clearly even yesterday announced, you know, as part of their middle class jobs program that, you know, natural gas is something that should be pursued. And at the same time, there was a lot of pressure from environmental groups for the EPA to step in, saying that the Pennsylvania DEP was falling down on the job, and it's their role of the federal government to step in when the states don't enforce federal rules as they are supposed to. So I think they were a little nervous, and I think that's why they limited their scope. But it looks like when you look at this PowerPoint, and I had a chance to look at it earlier today, there was pretty extensive research, and one of the conclusions, even though this was not made public at the time to reporters or anyone else, was that the gas drilling activities in the surrounding area did cause the methane to migrate, and they also thought it also caused other chemicals to leach into the aquifer. So it's interesting what they were saying behind closed doors as opposed to what they were releasing to the public.
And again, the regional EPA, they're seeming to agree with the investigation that was carried out by the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection back in 2009 that was finding Cabot Oil and Gas responsible for methane migration into these 10 endemic water wells. So, I mean, everybody seems to be in agreement, and yet there's trepidation about going too far. And you're saying that there's this pressure from the Obama administration and maybe perhaps from Congress as well not to go too far with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's supposition, and that's what a lot of people would say. I mean, there is one group of, you know, Cabot Oil and Gas, of course, disagrees with what the conclusions of both the Pennsylvania DEP and the EPA.
Right.
Basically, what Cabot has said is that there were poorly constructed water wells and that there was pre-existing chemicals and methane in the water.
Right. They're saying, so Cabot Oil and Gas is saying that gas drilling did not cause any contamination and that its own internal investigation showed the high levels of methane existed in the town's water supply before gas drilling began. Has that been checked out? Has anybody been able to say been able to find evidence to substantiate that claim?
Well, they say they've found the evidence, and then again, I mean, if you look at this PowerPoint from the EPA and you read what the earlier conclusions from the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, basically they concluded that Cabot, what the Pennsylvania DEP originally concluded was that Cabot constructed faulty wells, that their wells were not constructed in such a way as to protect the aquifer. It's sort of like a lot of this issue surrounding fracking. There's the battle of the scientists. You know, not every researcher, not every scientist comes to the same conclusion, and that's one of the things that makes this so controversial, because a lot of people will say, well, look, who's funding that? You know, like, they'll say, go back to who paid for this study. And so there's this whole question of does who paid for a whatever scientific research is happening, does that influence the outcome? And that is a big sort of issue now, I think, within the scientific research community, especially around this issue of fracking.
Let's bring in Tom Wilbur. Tom, is what the LA Times is reporting, that the EPA headquarters in Washington decided to curtail its investigation at Dimock over the objection of its on-site staff, is that part of a pattern coming as it does at a time when the Obama administration is using the sharp increase in natural gas production to deny claims that it is opposed to fossil fuels?
Oh, it's absolutely a pattern. And I think Susan, by the way, did an excellent job giving the background in Dimock. And I think we got to put that in the context of the broader background. And there's three things as far as this pattern goes. One is you have to remember that the gas industry, the oil and gas industry and the fracking industry is exempt from certain federal regulations, notably the Safe Drinking Water Act, which controls or governs what industry can put into the ground. So the fracking is exempt from that. And it's also exempt from hazardous waste laws about handling hazardous waste. The industry has a lot on the line in terms of safeguarding those exemptions. So if the EPA gets involved and starts suggesting that there is a connection in various cases with groundwater pollution, it opens the door for possible new rules from the EPA to govern shale gas. So they don't want that. And then the other part of it is, of course, the Obama administration has been very enthusiastic about shale gas. It looks like his administration will begin permitting. It actually has already started permitting exporting of shale gas supplies to make this a global commodity. The shale gas industry likes that because it raises the value in incentives to drill. And then there's two other very important points, and they go outside of Dimock. You have a similar EPA investigation happening that was happening in Pavilion, Wyoming. And very much like Dimock, there was a question about where pollution that was documented in water wells, whether this was tied to the industry. And the preliminary findings of the EPA concluded that the industry was primary suspect, essentially. This was likely coming from the industry, although it was not absolutely conclusive. And like Dimock, it was rebutted by the industry. Now, the EPA was pushing ahead to do due diligence here with a full peer-reviewed study, and they were at it for 2 or 3 years. It takes long, obviously, as the industry is looking over the shoulder of the government every step of the way, rebutting everything. It's a long and thorough process. And then suddenly, very recently, out of the blue, essentially, the EPA announced that it would be dropping its investigation and plans for a peer-reviewed study in Pavilion and turning it over to the state. And then there's one other very similar instance in Weatherford, Texas, where the EPA was involved, industry pushed back, and under the threat of legal action, the industry dropped its investigation into groundwater pollution there. So, I mean, you see, Obama's all for shale gas and the economic incentives, and there's a lot of political pressure in Congress of people who are for shale gas and the economic incentives. And you see, essentially, it's no surprise that Obama would be reining in the EPA to not get in the way or to stand down, essentially, in the case where the EPA, people might feel the EPA is overreaching. Even though I will add that the records show that these cases do warrant more investigation. And the question is the EPA going to investigate it? The answer is no. The investigations will be turned over to industry.
So to be clear, Tom, you're saying that someone, we don't know who, but the White House is saying, in effect, hands off shale gas.
Yes. In the sense with the EPA, yes. The White House administration is saying we will not let the EPA get involved with these studies and the potential for regulation.
Have you talked to anyone, a source within the Obama administration or the EPA about this that would show that a conversation such as we just paraphrased actually took place?
Yes.
And I don't know that you can give a name, but could you describe where this came from?
Various levels, and I can't give a name, but I'm confident that this is the case.
So you
and it also squares with the reporting that we're getting from the LA Times too. To put it briefly, it's a fit. It's a fit with what I've learned from my sources in the agency, and it's a fit with what other reporters have learned as well.
So someone within
jump in here a little bit.
Go ahead, Susan.
Also a fit. It's also a fit with what residents in Dimmock told me soon after the EPA announced that the water was okay to drink, which was that some of the EPA people who came to their house said, well, off the record, don't drink your water. So, you know, that PowerPoint sort of, you know, confirms what some of that some of what I heard from some of the Dimmock residents, not all of them, of course, but a few of them.
So what was on the if off the record is don't drink your water, what was on the record?
Well, what was on the record was what was put out in the EPA's press release, which was that even though they found high levels of certain contaminants, they felt that with the proper venting and filtration systems, the water could be safe to drink.
But then they were saying, oh, but don't even try it. Just don't even drink your water. Get some bottled water or.
Well, apparently that's definitely what some of the residents of Dimmock told me is what they told them personally. You know, I wasn't there. I wasn't at that conversation. But it certainly squares with what that PowerPoint presentation shows.
And we're talking about an internal PowerPoint presentation leaked to the Los Angeles Times showing at least one staffer at the regional EPA office in Philadelphia had linked contaminants such as methane, arsenic, and manganese found in water endemic to nearby shale gas drilling, and that the regional office did not agree with the EPA's national office's decision to close an investigation into water contamination endemic. We're talking here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA about what questions this Time story raises with our guest Susan Phillips, energy reporter with State Impact Pennsylvania, and author and shale gas reporter Tom Wilbur. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, ESSPGH@WESA.FM, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. We're wondering what concerns you have about water being contaminated by shale gas drilling and what concerns you have about the LA Times report. After hearing that report, what questions and concerns does it raise for you? 412-246-2002 is the number to call to join our conversation here on Essential Pittsburgh. The energy industry and its congressional allies have been critical of the EPA, and we talked a bit about this earlier. They've been critical of the EPA for undertaking the studies. And the term we often hear, Susan and Tom, is they call this, or the congressional opponents, the people in the energy industry who support shale gas drilling, they say this is regulatory overreach. Has this type of pressure, is this part of what has caused the EPA to back off?
I'll jump in, Paula. If it certainly has. I mean, the EPA and the federal government is influenced by politics, obviously. I like to say that, that policy comes at the influence of science and politics. And it's just the world that we live in. As some people say, this should be science-based, and it should, in fact, be science-based. But scientists aren't making the decision, and there's a lot of trade-offs. I mean, when you talk about natural gas, you have to talk about coal. You have to talk about energy needs. You got to talk about a lot of different things. And we elect our officials to assess all these things. So politics is part of the picture. There's no doubt about it. And the question becomes, at what point should the shale gas industry get a pass in the form of these exemptions that other industries might not get. And that's something that has to be weighed by elected officials. But there's no doubt that this is a political process in determining what the rules of the land are concerning regulation. I'll also add, too, that it's worth discussing and noting that while the federal government does aspect some aspects of drilling, it doesn't govern fracking specifically because of the Safe Drinking Water Action exemption. States are the main regulatory body, and the policy is going to vary state to state. And some people like to say that, geez, we need a floor in here. We need a baseline. And that's what the federal government does, and we're lacking that baseline with these exemptions.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's bring in some of our listeners. We have Shay in Yukon, Pennsylvania. Shay, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Shay, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead. You're on with Tom Wilbur and Susan Phillips.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. My main concern is the fact that, a lot of these regulations are made in Washington, and they sort of filter back towards the state, but at the same time, you have a lot of kickbacks, getting into the politicians' pockets around here, and there's really no regulation whatsoever. As far as, where I live, there's several wells around me. I actually see, Halliburton trucks sucking water out of the local creeks, to put into these wells, and it's a shame because there's really nothing you can do. Who are you supposed to really call is my question, What's the next step for local people like me?
Susan and Tom, I'll let you respond to Shay's concern about who's mining. Essentially what he's asking here is who is really overseeing this process, who is supposed to be minding the store?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I've definitely talked to several very frustrated township commissioners who were very much on the grassroots, on the ground, dealing with these issues, and they feel like they have pretty much nothing, they cannot influence it, that a lot of the influence of surrounding the rules and regulations happen in Harrisburg. And what's interesting about the fact, what Tom said earlier about how industry would rather have the states regulate fracking rather than the federal government. And what's ironic is they don't, in Pennsylvania at least, they don't want local municipalities to have any kind of say regarding zoning rules surrounding oil and gas drilling. And of course, that's an issue that's before the Pennsylvania Supreme Court right now. But it is a big issue regarding how much influence can a local community have over this industrial activity, because they seem to have a lot more influence when it comes to other industries than they do when it comes to oil and gas, at least in Pennsylvania, which is what I know about.
Sure. I'll add, too, if I have time, Paul.
Sure, Tom.
The difference, it varies state from state. And Susan had mentioned the home rule situation in Pennsylvania, which is now being litigated. In New York, the similar home rule issue has gone through the court system. And the question is whether municipalities do have regulatory authority to ban shale gas based on their land use plans. And it has municipalities in New York have prevailed all the way up through the Court of Appeals. So it looks like pending a very long shot with the High Court in New York, it would be a long shot that the industry would be able to overturn that, that this will become the lay of the land in New York. So you do have a layer of local control, at least the way this court decision turned out, with municipalities being able to decide not so much how they can regulate shale gas, but whether they can have it or not based on whether it fits with their land use plans. So that's in New York.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Kathy in Greensburg. Kathy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
My question is regarding the regional office for the EPA out of Philadelphia. Did they put their concerns in writing that they didn't agree with the national office, or did they just... I'm really curious about that because, you know, this. I'm very familiar with the workings of how this administrative top people in their regions operate, and you have to realize that the players behind this oil and gas are the Halliburtons and the bigger BPs, and, you know, so I'd be really curious as to whether or not the EPA office in Philadelphia actually has something in writing that they did not agree with the national policy.
Well, I would think that the PowerPoint presentation would be the proof of that, but I'll defer to Tom or Kathy on this. Or excuse me, Tom or Susan on this. Thank you, Kathy.
Paul, I don't know if Susan could hear the question so well. I had a hard time hearing it. Can you summarize?
Yeah, she said that she's Kathy from Greensburg was concerned. She's wondering if she's giving kudos to the regional office of the EPA in Philadelphia for taking the stand that they did. But what she wanted to know was whether there was some record of this in writing. And I'm saying that I would assume that having this PowerPoint is the smoking gun.
Oh, yeah. And I think, again, you have a disconnect here between the rank-and-file EPA, who, and I'm not just speaking about Dimmick, I'm speaking about Pavilion, Wyoming, and Weatherford, Texas, who really wanted to get to the bottom of where the pollution is coming from and the director from on high. So I think the staff of the EPA, you know, is they're proven staff. You know, they come with credentials, and I think that they have to be essentially guided by whatever the guidance is from, you know, the political powers that be.
We're running short on time. I'm wondering if we have time to go to one last caller, Rhonda in Springdale. Rhonda, if you go quick, we can answer your question for you. You live in Apollo?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go ahead with your question quickly, please.
My question has to do with how Westmoreland County supplies clean water. Most of it comes from Beaver Run Reservoir. At present, there's 28 active wells surrounding that reservoir. The EPA saw no problem with that. The residents here see a major problem. There's at least that many more wells planned for the near future. Indiana University is beginning to test the water, but so far we haven't been able to get any response from Indiana University. I can tell you the local feeling is we just don't trust our EPA.
So the state is saying that your water is safe, and you're saying how do residents know that? And you know, what is there any way to reassure people, Tom or Susan?
I didn't get the full question,
the
but I did get it through you, Paul. And I guess testing is not a cheap thing. But there are initiatives,
yeah,
I know,
right.
Proposals at least, in various stages in New York and Pennsylvania about baseline water testing. And leaseholders can incorporate this type of testing into their lease. In fact, a lot of landowner advocates suggest this, that as part of the deal, if you make it with the drilling company, they get baseline water testing so you can see what's in your water before drilling starts. That does not necessarily address a concern with if you have drilling in your off your land in your area. But there is a lot of advocacy to get baseline water testing pre-drilling.
Rhonda, thank you for that call. We are just about have just about come to time for this segment. Susan Phillips and Tom Wilbur, very quickly, what do you expect will come of this Los Angeles Times story?
It's a good question. I mean, you know, like Tom said, it's, you know, the third example that folks can point to where, you know, national EPA officials seem to shut down the investigations of the local regional offices. So it's hard to know how that will change. I mean, there is a new...
Susan, I need to jump in because we are out
sure.
of time. But I want to thank you, Susan Phillips, energy reporter with State Impact Pennsylvania, and also Tom Wilbur, shale gas reporter and author. Thank you both for being with us. Coming up, we'll reflect on the career of local jazz pioneer Nathan Davis. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.